Good morning, church family. Morning. Here we are, 10:45 service. We tune factor. So, in the book of Acts, there's the model of how we should live life. You know, we didn't invent this. It's already in there. And let me give you a couple big picture principles, and then we'll get into the points. It says in the book of Acts, the people met day after day in the temple courts and from house to house. Let me just explain that. The temple courts is what we'd call the church. It's Sunday morning. It's corporate worship. They gathered together as a big team. But then there was another piece of it. They met house to house. Not everybody went to the same house. They were in platoon mode. They broke it down into smaller parts. Sunday morning for us, corporate worship. We're all together. Totally different experience during the week when you meet house to house with other people. But those are the two components that make up the model of how to live life in the family of God. So, in your notes, the question is, what do small groups do? We call them life groups. There's different names for them, but they're platoon groups. What does a group do for you or me when we're a part of it? I want to walk through 5 points in your notes. Number one, the first thing a small group does for us is we study God's word together. Read with me the verse underneath point one. They committed themselves to learning the teachings of the apostles. Here's the deal. When you're in a platoon, a small group, and you have, say, 8 people. There are 8 sets of eyes looking at studying the same verse. You know, women have different perspectives than men, and men have different perspectives than women. Depending on your job, people see it different. And we can be enriched when we experience the platoon factor in a small group of people studying the Word of God together. Now, we've been looking for host homes, and I want to tell you what a host does. And it's a real short acronym, and here it is. H, if you want to be a host home, H stands for you have to like people. I mean, that's a good start, right? It's good to like people if you want to invite them in. Letter O, you open your home or your apartment wherever you live. Letter S, you serve something to drink. Maybe it's water, tea, coffee, soda, whatever. You just serve tea. You got to be able to turn on a DVD player. And if you can do those 4 things, you could be a host home. Other people can help run it. But, you know, we are always looking for people who would be willing to be a host in their home. You know why? I know God will use anybody. God will just bless you if you're willing to open your home for that. So if you're here today and you say, wow, I hadn't thought about it, but maybe, just maybe, I'm being nudged to be a host. Well, see Bjorg or myself, and we can help create a group that could meet in your home. And it's a platoon. You will experience something wonderful. But what we do is we study God's word together. Number two, we practice learning how to love. You know what the purpose of a small group is? You got to learn to love people. And let's read together these 4 or 3 verses under point two. They joined with other believers in fellowship. They were like family to each other. They committed themselves to life together. So in the book of Acts, the people got together and they fellowshipped. They were like family. And they just did life together. Years ago, they thought the way to be holy, and this still happens today, is you go to a monastery away from everybody. And you just pray and seek God for months and weeks, whatever it is. And, you know, they say, I can get holy if I do that. But Jesus comes along, and he kind of blows up that myth. He says, I want you to live in the world, but just don't be a part of it. In other words, you got to live it out to learn to love people. I brought with me today a piece of sandpaper. I forgot it. It's on the banister of the sound booth. But you know what sandpaper does? It smooths off. It's rough, but it's used to smooth off the edges in wood. And there are people in life that are like sandpaper. And I realize I'm a sandpaper to many people. I mean, you have learned to love me. You have to. You're still learning how to love me. You know why? I just don't get everything right. What I say, how I say it, I end up being like sandpaper to people. You got any people in your life like that? We call them EGR, extra grace required. I mean, they're people that they talk too much. When they talk to you, they get too close or they're in your space. There may be a quirk about their personality. You say, wow, that's a little different. But we have to learn to love people. And when you're in a platoon, a small group, I mean, wow, it takes work, doesn't it? And even in your family, you have to do the same thing. You learn to love people. Number three. The third thing is we eat together. We fellowship with food. Now, this should be a fun one, right? We eat together. Let's read a couple of verses in your notes. They shared in fellowship meals. They ate meals together in their homes, eating with great joy and generosity. Did you know that Jesus' ministry revolved a lot around food? He would go to parties or dinners or weddings, and food was a part of it. And I want to tell you the value of eating with people in your home or wherever you go. When you take time or you get invited or you invite people into your home and you share a meal, you know what happens? There's an intimacy exchange that you experience no other place. There's something about, wow, I've had a meal in the presence of this person or vice versa, and there's something that is very personal and intimate when you do that. But here's what it does. People relax, and you learn to love people. They relax. It doesn't have to be an elaborate meal, just a time of fellowship. But when you eat together, there's something special that takes place. And so small groups, platoons, hey, you may do a lot of eating. That's okay. But that's part of it. Number four. The fourth thing that happens in a small group is we pray for each other. Now, the verse says they spent time praying together. I've got a friend, Joe and Sharon Wagner. They live in Alabama. And I've shared or talked with them before. Joe's in his 80s. But he was recently diagnosed with cancer behind his right eye. And so they're in the process of getting, just opinions from different doctors of, you know, they talk about, do they have to remove the nose, the eye? What will he lose or not lose? But Sharon, who's a very godly woman, you know, she says, certainly appreciate your prayers. Now, hang on. Whenever you and I experience a situation in life that is beyond our ability to handle, maybe sickness, maybe a reversal in something. You know what we say? Hey, thanks for praying for me, or I'm praying for you. You know what we're saying? We can't really fix it, but we know someone who can. I mean, that's God, the eternal God, His power, His Spirit. And we say, we'll pray for each other. There's something powerful in your platoon when you spend time praying for the needs of the other person. Jesus said, if two or three agree on earth as asking anything before the Father, it will be done. Let me tell you, that's powerful stuff. We lean into that. We claim it. The small group is where that can happen at. Number five, the fifth thing that the life support system in a small group can do for us is this. We encourage and help each other. We encourage and help each other. Read with me the two verses underneath point five. They shared everything with each other and helped each other when anyone in the group had a need. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. I like that second verse. You know what it's saying? Use your unselfishness muscle. God has given to you special abilities and gifts to be used to help other people. And it's called being unselfish, looking beyond ourselves. You know, the platoon that went out to the sale or auction yesterday, great example. You know, they just, I think there were seven of them. They got together and they were on mission, had a good time, raised money. I think they want to give it to a cause and so forth. But when I look at the life groups in the church over the past few years, people have, donated clothes to other people, furniture. They've given them money. They would go to give meals. And the life group or the platoon is on mission. And so the Young at Heart group yesterday, that's what they were doing. Just trying to make a difference in the world we live in. And so when you think about encouraging other people, I want you to know this. Every person you meet, everyone, today, you have the potential to encourage them. Not one exception. Everybody here can encourage someone else in their life today. Start in your family when you get up in the morning. Be the world-class encourager to the people you live with. You go first. Just bless them. Then when you get to the office, just live that out in a greater way. So it's called getting past ourselves and the unselfishness muscle. We just encourage and help other people. So what does a small group do for our life support system? Well, we study God's word together. We practice learning how to love people. We eat together. That's special. Number four, we pray for each other. Number five, we encourage and help other people. So that's kind of like, what does it do for us? So here's what I want to do. I want to just talk very kind of briefly. How can you and I get the most out of our group, our platoon? And I want to give you six things. We'll just kind of work through these quickly. Number one. Make my group a priority. You want this experience of transformation to bless your life? Make it a priority. Sunday morning, midweek. Sunday morning, midweek. It's called a habit. Here's what the writer says. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. You know what a priority is? It's a pre-decision. You made a pre-decision that you would come to church this morning. Chances are some of you didn't feel like it. Anybody here said? Nobody. Y'all felt like it. Hey, the thing is, you made a pre-decision. You know why it's a priority? The small group during the week, it's a pre-decision. You know, I get it that we're busy. I'm busy. You're busy. You know, you don't find time, you just make time. You know why? It's a priority into the kingdom. And if you want to be blessed, make your group a priority. Okay, number two, share my thoughts with humility. Share my thoughts with humility. If you're part of a group, you know, there's a certain attitude we have to go into it with. Let's read the verses underneath point two. Don't try to act important, but enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourself. Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. You know how you can have a lot of friends? When you meet a stranger and you're willing to listen more than talk to them, they will become your friend very quickly. You know why? You're interested in other people. The person who can check the ego at the door and you're there in a humble way will greatly benefit from the platoon experience. Number three, respect others with courtesy. Respect others with courtesy. Let's read the verses under point three. Welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. Even when it seems that they are strong on opinions, but weak in the faith department, remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. You know what it's saying here? Whoops, let's read the second verse. We must bear the burden of being considerate of the doubts and the fears of others. Here's what it's saying. Be a good listener. If you want to be magnetic in your life and people are drawn to you and they're attracted to you and they like coming to you, you know what one of the ingredients is? Just being a good listener. There's something about it when we respect other people with courtesy, and they may be different from us, but if we're willing to just listen, I don't know, it just opens a key, a door to their heart. I was reading about respecting others with courtesy, and actually Rick was talking about in one of his life groups that some of the people fell asleep. And they didn't berate them. They just said, well, we're glad they're here. And, you know, they just let them sleep, you know. You know, it's a place of rest, so that can happen. But then he went on to say that if they fall asleep every time, he says, you may want to slap them, you know, wake them up. That was great. But the point is, respect others with courtesy. Number four, share my faults with honesty. Share my faults with honesty. If we live in the light, as God is in the light, we can share fellowship with each other. But if we claim we have no sin, we're fooling ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Read with me the second verse. Admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I want to make a couple statements that greatly impacted my life when it comes to this point, and I want to share them, and I hope everybody here gets it. If you need forgiveness, confess it to God. We understand that. God, forgive me. If you need healing, tell another person. Now, let me explain that. Revealing your feelings is the beginning of healing. Now, when you look at this verse, admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed, there's some things you might feel comfortable sharing as a group. There are things I would. I've shared my weaknesses before in the past. There's other things I wouldn't want to share in a group. But you know what this text says? Find one person. One person. Because when I reveal my feelings, I can begin to experience healing. We are as sick as our secrets. But when we are willing to find one person, maybe it's not the group, the platoon, no, I'm going with one. Just find one. And say, wow, this is what I'm struggling with my kids. Maybe it's the marriage. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's finances. Could be a bunch of things. If you need forgiveness, confess it to God. If you need healing, tell another person and talk it through. Just go with one. You don't have to do the whole group. But the insight is this. You may be here today and you've never told one person. It's hard. It's embarrassing. Feel guilty. But the principle is confession upward is forgiveness. Admitting my faults to another person, just one person, can begin a healing in my life that I wouldn't experience any other way. So when you think of your platoon, there may be one person, or maybe outside your platoon, I got to tell one person and develop that connection with them and share my faults honestly. Number five, share others' problems with sympathy. Wow. Let's read the verses underneath those, that point. Help carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will follow Christ's teachings. As holy people whom God has chosen and loved, be sympathetic, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. If one part of the body suffers and the other parts suffer with it. You see, when you share other people's problems with sympathy, you become a healing presence to them. You know, I'm amazed over the years I've learned that when somebody walks through the church doors, you never know the deeper story of their life. You never know. Everybody's got a backstory. And not all the backstory has to be shared. But when you encounter other people's problems, it says do it with sympathy and a sense of empathy to help them along their journey. Everybody here, everybody has the capacity to be a listener, to bless other people, and to share in the pain of another person. Someone has said, if you share a joy, it's doubled. If you share a sorrow, it's halved. I think there's truth to that. It's just sharing in whatever's going on in our life. Finally, number six, encourage each other with accountability. Encourage each other. Let's read the two verses. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. Spur one another on. Just be there for them. But then my faith helps you and your faith helps me. We can encourage other people. So six simple things, how to get the most out of your group. Make it a priority, pre-decision. If you haven't decided or figured out what group you could be a part of, we can help you with that. I mean, maybe you want to be a host. Maybe we can create something so that you have your nucleus of friends with you. Number two, share your thoughts with humility when you're in the group. Respect others with courtesy. Share your faults with honesty. Share others' problems with sympathy. And encourage others with accountability. You know what the end result is? We experience the platoon factor. And we're transformed in a deeper way over a 50-day period. Well, let me just wrap this up and conclude with this. I'm asking the church family, everybody here, to do two things beginning next week. Make a commitment, pre-decision. Sunday morning, I'm gonna do my best to get here every Sunday morning. That's when we all get together to worship. The theme for the week will be announced, will be talked about, kind of lay the foundation for the in-home discussion. The second thing is find a small group, a life group, or if you're not in one, we'll create one. Be a host in which you can experience the connection with other people on a more intimate basis, and that can make all the difference in your own spiritual journey going forward because you're sharing your life with other people. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you created a church family that can make the difference in people's lives. Regardless if we're married or single, whether we have kids or no kids, we all need the platoon. And so I pray for everybody here for the next 50 days, beginning next Sunday, that you will help us to make a pre-decision, make it a priority to come to Sunday service and to be a part of a smaller platoon during the week. And I pray for the anointing of transformation upon each heart here today and upon everyone listening online. That somehow, some way, we could find a deeper healing in the places where we are hurting And in the place where we are weak, we could find empowerment from the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, bless this series, the next 50 days, and we just ask your anointing upon it, and bless us as a church. And, Father, make us a light unto the community, because we are moving towards Christ-likeness. And that's what you want to display in the world around us to the hearts that are in need of you. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.